This is Spirit Network Radio, a PBS radio production hosted by renowned clairvoyant medium Francine Milano. Spirit Network is committed to the dawning age of enlightenment, from the psychic to the holistic. If it's on the mind, body, and spirit, it's on Spirit Network.
Hello, and welcome to Spirit Network. I'm your host, Francine Milano, and I look forward to spending the next hour with you. Today, we're going to talk about healing herbs and so much more with clinical herbalist Thea Summer Deer. Be sure to have a pen handy because I'm going to give you a number to call in and an email so you can reach out and ask your own questions for us. Before I introduce her, however, a word from our sponsor. Today's show is brought to you by Health by Design Natural Clinic. Visit hbdclinic.com or call 717-556-8103. See them in Leola, Pennsylvania, or consult with them via phone or Skype from anywhere. Health by Design, where science and nature come together. If you would like to be a sponsor on Spirit Network, we have many advertising options. Our show is not just live, but they're archived on the BBS website, and the podcast is available on iTunes, so your message plays on to reach many people long after the broadcast. Rates start as low as $50, so email radio@spiritnetwork.com. Now, Thea Summer Deer is my guest today, as I mentioned. Her alternative medicine spans 35 years as the owner of Mind, Body, and Evolutionary Press, and as an executive director of resources for World Health. She's also more aware of herbs and, as you know, I've recently become actually more aware of herbs and organic food. She knows a whole lot more than I do. And I started my own herbal garden in my new office. So I'm really excited to have her here. And I have a lot of questions for her myself. She'll also tell us about her book today, Wisdom of the Plant Divas. And if you have a question about herbs or medical remedies, call the studio toll-free. The number is 888-627-6008 or email radio@spiritnetwork.com. That's 888-627-6008 or radio@spiritnetwork.com. Thea, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, you're located in the Carolina. Are you North Carolina? Is that right?
Yes, I'm in the beautiful Appalachian Mountains of Western North Carolina.
Oh, my goodness. I love those. So, well, I'll tell you what, and you must be, it must be so easy to do the herbs and stuff in that area, just be communing with nature. But I think you've always done that, as I read in your on your fascinating background. You've seemed to have journeyed an extensive path so far. How did you come to this place in your life? Give us some of your great background. I'm so impressed with everything you've done and where you've been.
Well, you know, I've spent all of my childhood summers here in the Appalachian Mountains, and I was born and raised in Miami, Florida. And I lived in a traditional Seminole Indian village the first 8 years of my life. So I think that early exposure to Native culture really had a big influence on me. My mom was a gardener, and so just being around all of the plants that she grew, I took a very early interest in that. And so coming to the Appalachians and living here full-time was really coming home for me. And as many of you may know, the Appalachian Mountains are some of the oldest mountains in the world, and they boast some of the widest diversity of medicinal plants. So it was just kind of a natural evolution. I had been on a healing path for a very, very long time. I began practicing midwifery in about 1978, and was very involved with that. That was when I started growing my own herbs to use in my practice. And, you know, back in that day, there were still granny midwives delivering babies, and the herbs that we used were literally life-saving. That was before I had learned how to suture or learned how to give an injection of Pitocin, and the herbs were life-saving. So that started me on a, you know, on a, another leg of the journey with my relationship with herbs and alternative medicine. Then I married an alternative medicine doctor and moved to San Francisco, where we started Resources for World Health. And while I worked with Resources for World Health, the one of the mission statements was to support indigenous healers in their communities to continue to practice in their traditional manner. So I got to work with a lot of indigenous healers, and that was very rich. Just people like Willie Whitefeather, who has written beautiful books for children on herbs, and some, you know, herbalists that many people would never hear of, just practicing in their communities. Then life, you know, took a turn, and as you may also know, I've been an award-winning singer-songwriter. I toured as a singer-songwriter for a lot of years, so I kind of took a hiatus and really dove into my music, which, and the way that that connects is that, you know, I believe there's a song in everything. You know, the plants and the herbs are singing to us, and that really deepened my ability to listen. And that was ultimately part of what brought me back to the Appalachian Mountains. And then when I was here, I had an experience in my garden. I met my husband here, and we grew a garden together. And in that garden was when it was a very powerful place. It was on the Blue Ridge Divide, a kind of a portal, if you will. Kind of like, you know, we talk about Sedona, you know, and how there's all these vortexes. Well, I feel like that land that I was living on was a kind of a vortex. And through just a series of offerings and connecting and growing and nurturing the soil, I actually started hearing voices which told me they were the devas of the plants, and they started channeling messages to me, and that's what is in my book, are some of those channeled messages.
Oh, I did not know that. I'm looking forward to taking a look at that book. Had I gotten in touch with you a little sooner, we would have had time, but this was kind of like, hey, can you be on the show? And you have not only degrees in herbal studies, but also shamanic studies, correct?
That's correct.
And what do you do?
I have a doctorate in shamanic psycho-spiritual studies from Venus Rising University.
Okay. So does that also incorporate, and you have a practice where you help others heal others and teach them how to heal themselves? Is that correct?
I'm a clinical herbalist, so I do have a practice where I see clients. I've also worked in and lived in community where in a recovery community, helping people on, you know, the physical level, people who are coming into a community to do a lot of psychological, spiritual, and emotional healing. And I was fortunate to get to work on the physical level through diet and herbs.
Okay. And then through your listening to the plant world, wisdom of the plant devas came to be. But most people think that we have to ingest a plant in some way. And you bring a lot of focus on using the spirit energy of the plant. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, you know, the book really bridges botanical medicine with plant spirit medicine. And everything has a spirit. So, you know, when we connect in that way with a plant, we can call on its spiritual energies to be present with us, and that just opens a whole other dimension of healing. And I'll just give you an example of that, because for a lot of people, it's a little bit like, how do you listen to a plant? How do you know that you're listening to a plant?
Right.
It's a practice. You know, we all have that ability. But I'll just give you one example out of many stories I could tell you. But this is a personal story. My son was experiencing post-traumatic stress from a traumatic event that had occurred in his life. And at the time, he was living in a motorhome in Tucson, Arizona. And he fled from Tucson and drove all the way here, pulled up in my driveway where he was going to, you know, park his motorhome and stay for a little while. And he was clearly in shock from this event that had happened in his life. And the next morning after he arrived, I was just standing out in the driveway, and there's a bank. I live right up against the Pisgah National Forest. It's a pretty beautiful place. And we have sacred waters that run down into our house. We have gravity-fed artesian spring water. So there's a lot of life, you know, surrounding this property. But I was standing in front of his motorhome just kind of praying and, you know, for help for him on his journey. And I noticed this little white flower up on the bank. And it really intrigued me. And I just stood there and I looked at it for a little while. And I thought, and then I got to thinking, what is that? And I had to actually go out and around and climb the bank and kind of come back into the little thicket where it was growing. And it turned out to be Star of Bethlehem. And the flower essence of Star of Bethlehem treats post-traumatic stress. So when we can be alert, when we listen, when we pay attention, when we learn to read the signs that are in all things, I mean, we call that divination, and we've practiced that through a variety of methods, you know, throughout our evolution, whether it's the throwing of stones or bones or the reading of cards, you know, pulling of cards from a deck, or just simply learning to read the signs, because that is, you know, everything is divination. And so just paying attention, listening, and learning to read the signs in nature. I mean, we've been so disconnected. You know, we can read all the other signs, you know, the road signs, right, and the, you know, and even now we don't do that. We just turn on our GPS. But we have an navigation system that leads us to exactly what we need in any given moment if we will allow it.
And I've become a little more aware of signs in recent times, you know, whether it's dragonflies or feathers or coins, but you know, I haven't really applied that to plants and thinking the way that you do. And I think that's really incredible, because when you pull a plant like that in for at the moment that you really kind of needed that, was it a sign that you read that he needs to have that plant do something? I mean, what did you do next?
That's a great next question, because even though I did eventually get him some Star of Bethlehem flower essence, in that moment, it was just the presence of the spirit of the plant in our midst. In other words, you know, I was connecting my frequency to that plant, and that plant was connecting to me, and then that set up a resonant field that he was in, you know, that he could step into. So, you know, it's like the plants. I give you a couple other little examples in a little different way, is that, you know, these plants live inside of us, like digitalis, for example. We produce digitalis, and as we know, the foxglove plant also produces digitalis. We've got opiates that we produce in our bodies called endorphins, and we know that the poppy plant produces endorphins. So, you know, what exists in nature exists within us. And we could even say that we produce these plants inside of us. So when we come, you know, all healing takes place in the context of relationship. So when we come into relationship with these plants, we have an ally. We've created an ally that can assist us with whatever it is that we need. Does that help to answer that question?
It does, because in essence, not, no pun intended, but when you really became aware of that plant for your son, for instance, the healing actually started.
Yes.
And that, so it was, yeah, you can follow it up with others. But yeah, and that also makes sense to me as far as what happens in nature happens in us, because we are nature.
And what was really cool about that is that we had a really warm winter that winter. And Star of Bethlehem is in the lily family, and it does not bloom if the temperatures get too low. And I have never seen it there before, and I have never seen it there since.
That's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
But I totally believe it. That's for sure. That's always a good validation, too. Mm-hmm. When it's almost as if it couldn't be, that's validation, absolutely. Yeah. So, well, I want to ask you about some about what's in your book as far as, do you give people some methodology that maybe they can, if they know what they might need, to just meditate on leaves? And I'm assuming this goes far beyond just herbs. It goes through a lot of other things as well, you know, because the energies of trees are incredible too. But do you have a teaching method in there where you teach people to meditate, or calling the name? And how do you invoke it?
No, not really. There's a divination piece in there, and that is the bridge. So kind of the way it works is, because I'm bridging botanical medicine with plant spirit medicine, it's like we have to create a bridge between the worlds. So mm-hmm. I'm more, I think, demonstrating that, or suggesting that. And there's three, each herb that I write about in the book, there's three sections. And the first section contains what I call the story. And it's, you know, for folklore, it's the phytochemistry, it's the active constituents, it's the herbal actions, it's the history of the plant, it's the story of its name, how it got its name, how it was used, just a lot of, you know, information about the plant itself, and compiled in a way that you can't find anywhere else. It creates a really interesting story of the plant. But the story is always changing, and this is a really important point, I think, because we get, you know, when we start to talk about science and we think, okay, well, you know, this is the active constituent of this plant, and as a little aside, there's no drugs or surgery or diagnosis that would be possible without plants. And let me give you a little example, and then I'll complete that bridge piece for you. But here in the mountains, we have a plant that's called usnea, and its system affinity is with the lungs. It is an antibiotic for the lungs, and it even it's also called old man's beard, and it's kind of the canary in the coal mine here in the Appalachian Mountains. If it's really, really healthy, then we know the air quality is good. If it gets brown and shriveled up, then we know the air quality is bad. Also, you know, corresponding with the lungs. And all medical herbalists know that the active constituent in usnea is usneic acid, and that it is only extractable in alcohol. Well, I became the laughingstock of the herbal community when I said, oh, no, I use it in a water infusion. And they were like, well, that doesn't work, because the story that we're telling is that it can only be extracted in alcohol, the active constituent that is effective as an antibiotic for lung infections. The Cherokee, on the other hand, had been using this herb way longer than any white people came around here with alcohol. And they used it as a sun infusion in the spring water for the same thing. And, you know, we could look at that as a, you know, like a sun-infused tea. We could look at it as a more subtle energy medicine, because the lungs are associated with grief, and that is part of a Chinese tradition that goes back thousands of years. But we know that grief is expressed through the lungs. So they were using the same medicine in a completely different context, but for the same thing. So
how did they? I'm sorry to interrupt. How did they? Why did they not know that? Or I don't understand why they thought that you couldn't.
You mean why herbalists today think that you can only use it as an alcohol tincture?
Yes.
Because they're relying on the science that says that usneic acid can only be extracted from the plant in an alcohol infusion. Because the active constituents in plants can be water-soluble or soluble in alcohol.
So is it more science?
Go ahead.
Is it more the spiritual science then that we're looking at?
Well, it's more of an energetic, and this would bring up another good point for us to talk about, is it's an energetic medicine. So the Cherokee were using it as an energetic medicine. And herbal medicine, in the way that it is practiced, I practice in the energetic model. And herbal medicine, especially as the Chinese developed it into what is called five-element theory, is an energetic model. And this is where we get... I really would like to address this up front because I know there's going to be some questions that are going to come up. And when people meet me and they say, oh, you're an herbalist. Oh, well, you know, I have this thing going on, this symptom, you know, going on, and I really don't want to have to use a pharmaceutical for it. What herb can I use? So they're thinking that by using an herb instead of a pharmaceutical, that that's an alternative solution. But that is not how herbs work in the bigger picture. The longest lasting results from herbal medicine is in their tonic ability to restore whole bodily systems. What that means is that a tonic is something that you take over a period of time, 3 months, 6 months, a year, and it completely recalibrates the organ system that it has an affinity for. So it's not the quick fix that we find. So there's different models of healing. And when I talk about the energetic model as not even opposed to, because I really believe we need an integrative and a complementary model, but we have the mechanistic model of Western medicine that whose tools are drugs and surgery. So people who are used to thinking in that model, when they start to think about herbs, are trying to project that onto that they can just take an herb instead of a pharmaceutical. And mm-hmm. it's not that herbs can't be used in that way for acute symptoms, but for the longest lasting results, it's about coming into relationship with that herb and using it for its tonic ability. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It's basically that it's still, I'm sure, good as a complement to things you need. I always am a believer that allopathic medicine has its place.
Of course.
You know, I mean, if you break your arm, you don't expect an herb to fix it. You know, you still need a medical doctor, but you can use herbs in helping you realign things as they're healing. You know, but I believe that I understand what you mean, and I think our audience probably does. Nevertheless, you know, I do have questions in the mailbag that are, here's my quick fix question.
Yes, because we want it quick. We want it now.
Yes. Well, we'll still address them, but, you know, it has to be with the knowledge that it's not just here, take this, we're done. It's really about something being off balance. And I'll give you an example now. I mean, I have seasonal allergies, which I never had before in my life. And mm-hmm. I don't know why now, if it's my age or if it's actual stress in my life, but I have this post-nasal drip that's driving me crazy. And it's starting to subside a little bit on its own. It might just be that the weather's changing or something outside is not bothering me quite as much. But is there something that is might be out of balance? And I know you're not, I'm not a client, yeah. And I don't expect you to know everything without all the information. But is there anything that you can think of that might balance that out if I were to develop a relationship?
Yes, ma'am. That's a great question. And so allergies, all allergies have their root in the liver. So what happens, and it can either be a seasonal allergy or, as we age, we might have an allergy that comes up. But what happens is that the liver, which is responsible for filtering blood, it filters about two liters of blood every hour, and that liver, if it's overburdened in any way, and we live in a society that is overconsumptive, and we're also exposed to a lot of, you know, environmental toxins and stresses, that all gets processed through the liver. So when the liver gets overheated or congested, then it gives rise to this reaction that we call allergies. So by working at the level of the liver, by cooling the liver, you will be amazed at the results you will get for an allergic reaction. And nettles is the herb that I would recommend, and I would recommend it in the form of infusions.
How do you spell that?
Nettles.
Yeah.
Is N-E-T-T-L-E-S, and there's a whole article on it on my blog. And okay. Nettles are not only cooling to the liver, but they also are full of minerals. So a lot of times when we get depleted or we're really stressed out and we get depleted, we're deficient in minerals. And minerals are what are cooling to the system.
So that really could be my stress.
Yes.
Which is very funny. I have to ask you something because I keep hearing this something all around me. I keep hearing about, and without people knowing that about my allergies, keep telling me that first thing in the morning, have some warm to hot water with some lemon to clean out the liver. And I'm like, now I'm thinking, wow, that was a sign. I should be listening to that now.
Yes, it was.
Okay. That's so now you have finally given me the rest of that sign. So that's where I'm going to go. That's great advice for anybody. Look at the liver.
Doing the lemon and the water in the morning, that's really good. And add the nettle infusions and do it for a month and call me back because I guarantee you're going to be a different person.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. And that's probably not just seasonal either. That is like, because I have a lot of food allergies as well. Would that kind of focus on that?
It would help. I mean, when I see someone clinically, I do a whole timeline and there's a lot of different things to look at.
Sure. So like I said, I don't expect you to know to
every single
everybody's an individual. Absolutely.
Totally,
so, I actually do have, multiple people ask me a lot of questions and I got to give you the three that were at the top of the list for that were most popularly asked. So instead of just going by everybody's question, because I got the same questions over and over again, number one was cancer cells. Is there anything that you recommend? Is there a catch-all kind of, remedy, or is it just depend on the cancer cell? And I know, there has to be some other things involved.
That's a big question, and here's what I'm going to say to that. Cancer is what we call a big D disease, and herbal medicine is best when you are using it before you get to the point of big D disease.
Okay.
So, there are many, many things that would have happened in that system before that dis-ease became a big D disease. So you're more limited with how much you can do once you have gone into that disease process.
Sure. Well, let's say you haven't. Are there some antioxidant things that you would use for on the preventative side?
There's a lot. Again, everyone's an individual, so it depends on how their body is dealing with stress and what their history is and what their constitution is. But I will say that in the work that I'm doing, that there are some medicinal mushrooms that are very effective in cancer treatment. It depends on the kind of cancer. I work a lot with women with breast cancer, and there are specific lymphatics that can really, really make a difference in a woman who is in the early stages of breast cancer. So it depends on the cancer. I do have another article on my blog on medicinal mushrooms as it relates to that. So
Let's talk about your blog. Let's get that information out there so people can take a look at this stuff. But I'm sorry I interrupted you. What were you going to finish that? It was called what?
It's called A Tale of Turkey Tail, and it's on the turkey tail mushrooms that are being used in cancer therapies right now. And the blog is called just my name, theasummerdeer.wordpress.com. And you can also get to it through my main website, which is just theasummerdeer.com.
Wonderful. And it's just, and it's T-H-E-A, summer deer, just the way it sounds.
Well, it's summer like season and deer like the four-legged. A lot of people.
yes. Yeah.
Said I'm a deer heart. D-E-A-R, but no, it's the four-legged, D-E-E-R.
You are, I'm sure, but yes, it's the four-legged deer. Okay.
I like both, but it won't get you to my blog.
And I'm sure that, you know, the second question most popular was diabetes, which is also another big D disease. But, you know, that has a lot of side effects that are very common, like neuropathy, you know, anything that would help keep with the pancreas, support the pancreas, and as well as the side effects that come with diabetes.
I teach a class that's called, it's on the earth element, because in Chinese five element theory, and this is a system that goes back thousands of years. So, I'm going to speak into what you asked me, but I just want to say that in the Western European herbal tradition, it's really a broken tradition, because so many of the healers were, killed. And that by the time it made it over here to this continent, we had lost so much knowledge. But the Chinese model is a very, very old, unbroken lineage model. And in that model, diabetes is an imbalance in the earth element. And earth is mother. Earth is what sustains us. And it has to do with food, and it also has to do with full sweet. So when we are not nurtured at the deepest level and depleted in whatever, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we can be depleted, not being breastfed, I mean, it just goes on and on. So by nurturing the earth element, I have seen people make incredible strides in moderating or even curing their diabetes, and I would recommend my class on the earth element for people who want to learn more about that.
Good. Tell us more about the class and how they can take it.
Okay. It's I teach on Wise Woman University. It's an online class. It's a lot of bang for the buck, because for $75, you're getting my mentorship. You're getting four lessons with homework and feedback and webinars and resources and recipes, and it just goes on and on.
Wow.
And they can get to that through my website or through my blog, either by going into classes.
That's a lot of Thea for $75, people. I might have to take that myself.
Yeah, no fooling.
So they can get that from your website as well, or they can get to it?
Yes, they can get to that through my website and through my blog. And just click on classes, and you'll see it come up, and it'll have a whole description of a synopsis of that class, and mm-hmm. they can, you know, take a look at that and see if that's something that, it's called Indian Summer, the Earth Element.
And is that an ongoing thing, or you just take a new group
every
week?
It's ongoing, it's work at your own pace.
Okay.
It's helping people have a basic understanding of the stomach, spleen, and pancreas, and how they function from both a Western physiological perspective and an energetic model perspective. So we're kind of, it's very integrative.
Okay. So that is something that you can take all year long?
Yeah, it is. You can sign up for it anytime, and it's work at your own pace.
All right. That sounds good. I'm going to check that out. And again, that is TheaSummerDeer.com,
the
four-legged animal. Okay. Is there also a phone number they can reach you at?
It's also listed on my blog.
Okay.
And I would actually prefer being emailed, and there's a client request form on my blog, and again, that's TheaSummerDeer.wordpress.com. You can request a consultation, and there's mm-hmm. a form that you can submit, and that's really the best way to do that.
Wonderful. Okay. Let me go on with a couple more mailbag questions. And I want to remind you that if you do have questions and you want to talk to Thea right now, the number to call is toll-free 888-627-6008. Okay, you can also email radio@spiritnetwork.com, and we'll try to get to everybody. Again, we do understand that you can't, every case is a little different. So when I ask you a general question, we have to keep that in mind, of course. The third question or the ailment that was asked for most was fibromyalgia. And that is more in recent times. I don't know why this has popped up, but I'm sure that you're going to tell me. Because you know it all.
I love this question. Go ahead. Was there some more you want to say about that?
The question really is that I got several people ask me what they can do to help their fibromyalgia.
Right on. What I want to say, and I'm seeing this a lot, is that people who are presenting with fibromyalgia actually have heavy metal toxicity. And I would say to anyone who's experiencing that is to please get tested. There's a challenge test. There's a multiple profile blood test. There's different ways that you can be tested for that, is to get tested for heavy metals. I'm seeing it over and over and over. Not to say that there can't be another reason, but I, for that kind of inflammation, I mean, that's an inflammatory response, and but I'm seeing that a lot, so I would just ask people to please rule that out. When we're talking about inflammation, some of my favorite anti-inflammatories are turmeric, and you can combine that with bromelain, and this works really well, just to help to reduce the inflammation. I mean, there's other things, too, that are obvious, like sugar and gluten. If someone is experiencing that, they need to immediately get off of sugar and gluten. It breaks my heart that we are having this gluten issue. I love, you know, especially having hung out with a lot of indigenous people, you know, wheat is, you know, the bread basket. It's the staff of life. It's women in the kitchen baking bread. It's right. Part of cultural tradition. But we have adulterated it to the point where our body literally cannot recognize it, and it is setting up so much inflammation.
Oh, yeah. I have leaky gut because of GMOs and, you know, that I've had to get off of. And it's just, and I live in Amish area where all the cornfields are just abundant all over the place, but I know I can't eat any of it. You know, it's really grains in general, isn't it?
Well, there's the GMO factor, but with the wheat, it's actually been hybridized so that they have bred more gluten, you know, into it. So it's got, you know, the molecules that are in the bread now don't even begin to resemble what it used to be. But so then you add the GMOs on top of that, and then you're really, you know, looking at a problem.
Right. So no wonder I can't eat anything anymore unless it's a organic vegetable. And that's what it's come down to. So let me just follow up, and I'll let you finish with this because that's very important. But if someone does find they have the heavy metals, what would they do then?
You can do oral chelation or you can do IV chelation. I would definitely warn about IV chelation that you are working with a very experienced practitioner and are really clear that you need to go that route. I work with a functional medicine doctor here in Asheville, and they have tremendous success with oral chelation. And, you know, I think in all of the years of practice, they've only ever had 3 people that have had to go and get IV chelation. But I know people who have had IV chelation, and it's actually saved their life. I'll give you an example. One woman was an artist, and she was using pastels. So she was smearing those pastels with her fingers. You know, they're full of titaniums and cadmiums, and she was so sick she couldn't get out of bed for 2 years. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with her, and she finally figured it out, and she had to go through 2 rounds of IV chelation therapy, and now she's fine. So you need to consult with a knowledgeable practitioner.
That's amazing. So basically, it's the heavy metals, or they really have to get off they have to get off everything that causes inflammation.
Yeah, just so you're not exacerbating the inflammation. And I also work with a dentist who is very aware of this mercury toxicity because of amalgam fillings. And one thing he shared with me, and this is a real simple thing because he was dealing with that in himself from having worked on these mouths for so many years, he said the one thing that he found that really helped him was sweating every day. And that is a longevity practice anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's not happening over here, I can tell you that.
Right. So that would be take notes, sweat every day.
Absolutely, or not. Okay, I have a question. A very special caller has had some plugged ears right now. So that's like, is there a reason why there's so much wax going on? Is there anything that unplugs ears? I know that that's kind of a general question, but would we have to know why they were plugged?
Well, you know, we could look at that a couple different ways. I mean, you've got ear candles, which are going to deal with the immediate plugging of the ears.
Right.
I really like mullein oil, and this is the time when mullein is flowering, and it's the time to make that, and it's very effective.
I'm not familiar with mullein oil. Is that M-U-L-L-E-N?
E-I-N.
I'm sorry, say it again.
M-U-L-L-E-I-N.
E-I-N.
And it's the flowers. And and you can buy it in the health food store. I make it myself. And you combine it, you know, I pick the yellow flowers bloom in what's called racemes. So, you know, I have to go out and pick a little every day, and I pick a little every day for about 2 weeks, and I put it in olive oil, and it infuses in the olive oil. And then you can add other things to it, like garlic. It's really good for ear infections, especially in children. I have seen many, many children be prevented having to have tubes in their ears using a mullein garlic ear oil. I don't think that's the problem with too much wax. I would have to have more information to really know how to deal with that more on a systemic level.
Sure.
I could just be hereditary, a tendency more toward that.
I think this was just a really quick acute case.
But, yeah, I would recommend ear candling.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so we'll leave that with him. He'll do with what he wants on that one. I also have a question from Irene. She wants to know, what can I do with rosemary besides cooking with it? You know, which I guess you can do anything that you do with any other herb. I personally like the herbs raw when possible myself, but to keep the some enzymes. But okay, are you good in the kitchen?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? I have a website that's called theaskitchen.com.
Well, I guess that would be a yes. So is there anything on rosemary there for her to look at?
Yes, there is. And rosemary, you know, I love rosemary. Rosemary is an amazing plant. It's also very antimicrobial. So, you know, just keep that in mind. It's good especially in the wintertime, to ward off infections in the lungs, you know, when winter starts to set in, as some people that are susceptible to that. Rosemary has an interesting history in the way that it was used in the tombs of Egypt for embalming. It's been used as an abortifacient. It's been used, in baths to, you know, both for spiritual reasons as well as just, you know, it's antibacterial.
Right.
So I highly recommend the use of rosemary, and it just, its essence, the smell of it is so uplifting. It's aromatic, it's savory, it's medicinal, it's ceremonial. And as far as legend is concerned, it's called the herb of remembrance. So it was used in wedding ceremonies. It was used in funerals. It's a beautiful plant. I tell a story about it in my book. That's kind of a legend that was channeled to me by the devas, and how it serves us and our humanity at this time. Would probably be too long of a story for me to tell you, but I just would recommend that if you're intrigued by this plant, to read that chapter in my book about it.
Now, let me ask you this question, because, you know, when I use my rosemary, thyme, and sage to make a chicken, are there actually herbs medicinally that work together, that pair well just like in cooking.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, that's culinary, the culinary arts is knowing, you know, what works well together.
But so, how about if it's used medicinally?
Well, then you would be talking about formulas, putting together a formula. So I can give you an example of that. I did a really stupid thing. I have a beautiful creek that runs down by my house, and there's a bunch of cows that live up creek from it. And I should have known better, of course. But there was some wild mint growing by the creek. It's just an amazing mint, and I rinsed it off in the creek and stuck it in my mouth, and I got Giardia. So I made a combination of cloves and what else did I use? Thyme and sage. And I made a strong tea, and I drank that for about 3 days. Now, I had this going on, oh, God, for 4 or 5 days, because anybody who's had Giardia knows it builds up in the system, and then you're just sick. And then you feel okay for a half a day, and then it builds back up, and then you're sick. And it was after the third round of that I went, oh, my goodness, I have Giardia. So I drank that tea for about, I don't know, 2 days, maybe three at the most, and it completely knocked it out.
Oh, that's great.
That's so, yeah, they definitely work together.
Now, here we got another email here. No, this is a Facebook. Somebody from Facebook wants to know, Chris, wants to know if there are any herbs that help MS. Yeah, I know that's a broad thing, and I know every case has to be individualized, but there's a lot of pain with MS. Is there anything that would help either the symptoms or the root causes?
I just worked with a client who has MS, and she was mostly she was on multiple medications, so anyone who has MS is more than likely on some type of medication. So that's a really important consideration. And I'm just actually going to open her, if I have time here, if I can do it quick enough, open her case study. And let's see if I can get into this quick enough to give you some information. But mostly she was having difficulty with constipation, and that turned out to be more from the medications that she was taking, and that's what we were focusing on. When someone comes to work with me, they are letting me know what it is that they want help with specifically. Like, you know, you can have MS, but it could be, you know, the neuralgia, and or it could be, in her case, constipation, so that I would deal with that individually. So that's a very complicated, and I normally would not work with a case like that, but she was a very special person in that she is doing a lot of work to integrate complementary medicine, and she has a healing team, and it was a wonderful opportunity for me to be able to dialogue with her healing team as to what some herbal support could be for her.
Okay.
I'm still trying to get into this this file here.
So while you're doing that, I'll just ask generally, when you have one of the big D diseases, you're dealing with the specific issues surrounding it, and not, you know, and complementing while they're usually on allopathic medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so that's a real art, and that's why you know, any herbalist would have to be in communication with the physician and the healing team. I mean, there are certain herbs that I know that are completely have no contraindications as far as how they interact with pharmaceuticals, and I can recommend those to her safely. But here's what I would recommend to the person with MS. There is a great inspirational TED Talk. And it's called Minding Your Mitochondria with Dr. Terry Wahls, W-A-H-L-S, and that's a TED Talk. I recommend watching that. That comes from a functional medicine perspective, and I think that might be a really good place for someone to start.
Okay, very good. We're going to move on. I want to ask you about lavender. Lavender in my circle is kind of a catch-all for a lot of just a feel-good tea, a feel-good thing. Is there anything specific that, or is it a lot like rosemary where it just does a lot of things?
You know, lavender is very soothing. So, and it's really good for burns. It's really good for wound healing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's relaxing. People who might have trouble sleeping, it's a really good, it calms the nervous system. It's a really good one to use as an essential oil and a diffuser to help calm the nervous system to get a better night's sleep. And I just want to say that not all essential oils are created equal. Mm-hmm. And you really want to make sure that you're getting a good quality essential oil. And that would be Lavandula angustifolia is the botanical that you want to find. That's Lavandula angustifolia. So make sure you get, because there's a lot of what they cross lavenders, and they are breeding what are called lavendins, and they are not as potent. And when we're talking about essential oils, we're really talking about a drug, because right. that is tons of plant material to produce an essential oil, and then that goes right into the autonomic nervous system, right. and, you know, really should be thought of as a drug. We are overusing essential oils. So,
what about what about with a carrier, though? I mean,
An essential oil that can be used in what's called its neat form, NEAT. That means you do not have to put it in a carrier oil.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, that's even more of a reason that you just want to make sure you get a really good pure lavender. And it's an amazing medicine. I love lavender.
Now I have an organic lavender, a few plants in my office. And sometimes I'll just throw a couple leaves in the recipes. But is there anything
I can... Yes, it's one of the herbs in the Herbes de Provence.
Yeah. Now my husband is having some knee surgery actually next week. So mm-hmm. when you were saying about wounds care, I should make him some lavender tea then. Is that what
no,
you
no,
mean?
No, or not for internal. Thank you for clarifying that.
Okay.
That would be used externally. When I say in its neat form, I mean to apply to the skin externally. A lot of oils, essential oils, are very, very strong, and you couldn't use them in their pure form directly on your skin, where you can with lavender. Lavender, okay. while it's used in cooking as a flavor, is not used internally as a medicine.
Okay. Very good. Okay, so I'm going to be prepared for next week, that's all. Okay, I would also like to know, I'm assuming you have a really good green thumb, and my thumb is very pale green at best. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. And you're also on the East Coast, which I don't know if this would apply or not, but are there some hardy herbs that are easier to grow in a variety of clients and of climates? I have a window, a bay window. It does gets no outside. It's the sun is filtered through the window. I have some that do well, some that not so much, but, like philodendrons, I cannot kill a philodendron. I could put coffee in it and I will not kill it.
Oh, I have such a smile on my face when you opened up this interview and you said you had your herb garden in your office. I thought, God, that's so cool.
Yeah, well, you know, and I talk to the plants every day, and you know, that's the best I'm going to do as far as the soil I have at my disposal. But when I got this new office and I saw this big bay window, I was like, the heavens just opened up, and I said, oh, finally getting my herb garden. So I just clip them up a little bit and take some home every week, but some of them aren't doing so good, and I'm assuming that some don't do well as others in the same situation. Some don't have the same sun exposure, you know, or need different exposures. But is there anything that, like, it's almost like really hard to kill certain herbs?
Yes, mint. Your mints should do very well. Also, basil was traditionally used as a as a pot plant, growing in a pot in the house.
Right.
So, what else could you grow? You could try lemon balm. That generally does fairly well inside if it's getting, if it has good soil.
And, all right, I have a lemon verbena that is not doing as great, so.
Yeah, try lemon balm.
Okay.
It's in the mint family, but it's, of course, and lemon balm is a fabulous medicine. So let me just say something about that because I recommend people grow it a lot. It's used for treating depression. And if you rub, the leaves between your fingers, you can smell how intense those essential oils are. But the essential oil of lemon balm is called Melissa, and it is actually being, a lot of studies have been done on it. So this is in the medical literature that it is being used to treat clinical depression. And drinking a tea of that daily, just having it growing around you, I think is a real good medicine to be growing and connecting with.
Wow, that's huge. That's huge. Okay, people, you heard that one. That's really important because we all know somebody who could use that.
Yeah.
Well, listen, give us, before we close, because I have 10 other questions I'm just not going to get to today, so we're going to have you on again for sure.
Okay.
Do please plug the events and stuff and your website and how people can contact you after the show.
Okay, you want me to do that right now?
Yep.
Yeah, well, if you just go to my website, that's the best way to see everything that's going on. That's, again, theasummerdeer.com, summer like the season and deer like the four-legged. And you can see everything there from my blog to my healing retreats and intensives, my book.
Yeah, because they can buy your book from there, too.
Yes, they can, and my music. My book is available everywhere, so there's a couple links to different places you can go to buy it. It's, of course, on Amazon and any place that one would normally buy it. But I'll tell you what I like about the link that's on my website to IndieBound is that that will link you to an indie bookseller in your area, and that way you support your local bookseller.
Oh, that's so nice. Very nice.
Yeah, so that allows you to support your local community, while you're supporting me as well, because, I mean, certainly you can go up on Amazon.com and buy it for less than you could get it from your local bookstore, but I'm into supporting local economy, so I would recommend, doing that.
Listen, I want to thank you so much for being here today, Thea. It's just really been very enlightening. I've gotten a lot of information. I took a lot of notes, and I hope that, they'll listen to it in the archives, I guess, and to hear it all again. And I hope that you'll all go to see Thea. And I'm kind of thinking about that class, that online class. I think I'm going to do that. All right.
Yeah,
so thanks again. I appreciate your being on the show.
I appreciate you and for bringing
all right.
this work. Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
All
Bye-bye.
Right, friends. Thank you so much for being here today. And until next time, much love. Bye.
You've been listening to Spirit Network Radio. For more information about the show, please visit spiritnetwork.com. For more information about your host, psychic medium Francine Milano, visit her website at FrancineMilano.com. Until next time, remember that peace begins with an open heart.